Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted in him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every single knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let's see if we can approach the kingdom. Let's stand if we are able and comfortable doing so, that we might focus our minds and our ears and hear the word. This is Matthew, first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You need to know that the organ and the PowerPoint projector are arguing with each other. I can fix the projector and the screen and get everything perfect, and somehow when the organ hits, I don't know if it's particular notes or just does a lot of vibrating, the projector just gets mad about it, and they just have a deal there. So I will have a counseling intervention with them later. Not that I haven't already tried, but we got to keep moving on and trying. Need to check on you. How are you doing on your homework? You remember I gave everybody homework. You're supposed to go out in the world and be the Christians you're called to be. Somewhere in all of the freneticness and all of the mass and the mess and sometimes the anger and frustration of this season, to offer Christ. Not as a proselyte, but as a smile, as a way of saying, we are God's beloved children and it's all right. None of all of this is going to stop us from being what we're called to be. How have you been doing on it? Somehow putting it in the front of our mind might be the more important thing. Don't feel obligated. Don't feel pressured. Don't feel stressed from it. In point of fact, I'm asking just the opposite. Let go and turn to God. We've been gathering around the manger, and we've gathered with the magi, the wise men, and the gifts that they brought. What kind of a gift could you bring to Jesus? And the shepherds, the only ones really invited, the first ones, the poor, the outcast, the illiterate, the invited ones to the celebration of the birth. And the angels proclaiming in heaven. But now we turn along with the heavenly host. We acknowledge God present around the manger. The author of life, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the very author of creation gathered around the table. But there are also others around the table, around the manger, are gathered with us, the saints. Now, some of you may have come from a Catholic tradition or be aware of Catholic tradition, and you think about the saints in the Catholic Church, and there, I don't know a lot about them. But I know that there are quite a few. And those are not who I'm talking about at all. Although they may be present with us in spirit around the manger, I'm not talking about those saints. And Paul, in his letters to all the churches, the evangelist, he says we refer to the saints in Jerusalem. He's talking about the apostles, those that traveled with Jesus, that lived with him, and that are trying to rebuild that church and become the church that we will call the Christian church. I'm not talking about them either. No, I'm talking about our saints. My saints, your saints. Those who have passed, have ended their journey on this world and now are at ease in the arms of the Lord. I lost both my parents. It was a blow. I think until that time I was still the kid, because I could always say, Mom, Dad, I give up, I'm coming home and moving back in. But here we are now, and they are among the saints, and they are gathered above. You have saints as well. Maybe it's grandparents or great-grandparents, or maybe it's spouses. Beloved ones that have passed from this realm into the one beyond, and to whom we remember, we grieve their loss, and we celebrate them. I want to lift my parents as some of those saints that are with me in this time. But I'm going to name a couple of others that have passed that are people that have been saints and have helped me be who I am. Reverend Keith Merriman, Reverend J. Alton Templin, the Reverend Margaret Hankins, the Reverend Regina Kobach-Drew. Those are some of the clergy saints that I acknowledge. There are others that are important in my life, but they're still alive, so I'm not going to talk about them yet. But you understand who we're talking about, these saints that have gone before us, that have helped us be who we are, that have instilled in us and have given to us, have shared with it, have endured us. My parents, they need to be congratulated for having put up with me. Don't you agree? Yeah, don't get too wild about applauding that. But all of those have contributed something to teaching us what is right and wrong, to teaching us compassion and love and forgiveness and honesty and all of those different gifts that they've given to us. And for my clergy saints among us, there are other lessons as well. I have to lift one in particular. Reverend Keith Merriman was the senior pastor. My first full-time appointment was as the associate with him in Fort Morgan, Colorado. You know where Fort Morgan is? You head northeast. You get out there 90 miles, 90 minutes, depending on how fast you're traveling. Little town, relatively. I think there were 4 traffic lights in the whole town when I was there. Relatively small, but it's a scattered community, pretty active in general. But Keith Merriman, he taught me an interesting thing. You see, what one of the lessons we read this morning out of Philippians, you heard that passage, let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Even though he was born God, through humility, he humbled himself to be among us, to live among us, to be helpless with us. Nothing more helpless than a newborn baby. And so this humility, sometimes that's hard for us. Let's really be honest about that, especially as in our place where we live, in the things that we have, in the nation that we're a part of, and the rights that are part of ours and that we do not take for granted, and in fact we kind of flaunt those. Sometimes we're not as humble as, well, let's just say we're not totally humble. I'm speaking only for me. I'm sure none of you feel that way at all. The humility is an interesting thing. You see, in this small town, Keith Merriman, pastor, this is a town where everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew everybody's business. You know, I would know everything that Daniel had been up to this week, and I could check and find out what Tim Collins, what he'd been doing all week long, if anything went, that would be on the news, on the grapevine. Everybody knew everybody and everybody's business, and you were always accountable. You know that kind of small town? Have any of you lived in small towns like that? So you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't lived in, bless you if you haven't lived that way. But Keith Merriman took it seriously, the pastor of the strongest church in the community. And he was professional, and he took that very, very seriously. One day I came in to work, and he was in his office, and his wife Jeannie was there, and she never came to work with him. And they were both very somber. I looked at them. I said, "How are you? Good to see you, Jeannie." And she kind of nodded her head, but I said, "What's wrong?" And it came out slowly that Keith had had a car accident. That's a big deal when you're the pastor. You're supposed to be showing and supposed to be leading the flock. You're supposed to be the pastor that demonstrates the right ways to having an accident. And it was his fault. He was hurrying. He had to get from one place to another. None of us have ever had that happen to us, I'm sure. But Fort Morgan has what's called residential intersections. It's expensive to put up stop signs, so they just said, every time you come to an intersection, slow down and look around and take it easy. It's called a residential intersection. I doubt if there are any of those left in Aurora. But in that day and age, you had to just slow down and be considerate and take and look around. And Keith was distracted. I don't know where he was going or where he was coming from, but he was distracted. He went through the intersection. He had another car T-bone. Not very fast, but it definitely wrecked both cars. And there was bad news. It was a member of the church. Not only a member, but an affluent, longtime member whose parents had been members. And and there's more bad news. It was the chief of police. I kid you not. And he said that, and I actually laughed. And they looked at me with shock. And I feel bad to this day about that. But you have to see, there's a humorous part of that. If you're going to hit somebody in a town with that kind of accountability, you might as well hit the police chief. But Keith dealt with that professionally and humbly. And he taught me a lesson about being always who you want to be to the world. Who you want to be before Christ. In every second, in every moment, there should be that accountability. And regardless of who we are, we all have feet of clay. Now, some of you may be holier than that, but I'm not sure on that. But I think most of us are still moving on to perfection. Are we moving on to perfection?
Yes.
Keep it up. So we celebrate saints gathered around the manger today. Those saints, those other people, and Keith, Jeannie is still alive, but Keith passed from cancer. And we acknowledge those saints, and we pause to celebrate that they taught us some amazing lessons. And one of the lessons they taught us is that love is a rule far above any other rules. Love is a rule above condemnation. And we need to hang on to that. The Matthian passage I read talks about Joseph. Joseph was a righteous man. You look up righteous, the definition means that you are law-abiding, that you do the right things, that you are about being just and right. And law-abiding can be kind of an interesting thing, you see, because the laws say specific things. And Joseph would have known the law that said if a woman is pregnant outside of marriage, she should be taken out of the city and executed. He knew that word of law. But he knew another greater law, and that was a law of love. And he loved Mary, and he cared for him. He cared for her, and his compassion carried him to do the right thing. An angel came in a dream, and that helped. But this is the Lord born to Mary. This is an important lesson for us to hear and to learn and to be about and to remember. You see, today we have some divisions in our society, in our communities, in our nation. You may not have noticed. You may not have noticed any political rancor going on. You may not have noticed any struggles betwixt peoples. The hardest for me is the struggles with friends, dear friends of mine, whose mindset is so much different than mine. And I have to stop and back up and say, all of those are irrelevant compared to the importance of a friend, a true lifelong friend. As I was filling out making Christmas cards this last week, and I keep track of who sent me cards last year. And some of them that don't send me cards, they get taken off the list. But some of them have been getting cards from me for years and never send me one back. And that's okay too. Because I'm determined to be about loving them regardless. This isn't about, do you agree with me enough? Are we of the same mind? No, that's not what God is calling us to. God is calling us to find out how to be together despite those things. And we need that in society more than we have ever needed it, in my opinion. So we are about thinking about that and reflecting on that. And this is some of the things that some of those saints have taught us. My dad, awesome. But there were things we disagreed about. And that was okay. And he let me know it was okay and taught me that we can work together as beloveds regardless. Talking about the saints around us is a good time to talk about Blue Christmas. Blue Christmas, some churches do a special service on, it would have been yesterday, the shortest day of the year, the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. Because some people are very blue this season. They've lost loved ones. They've lost their youth. They've lost things that this season accentuates their pain, their grief, their loss. And those are real. And we don't discount those, and we don't say, you should just love God and forget all of those things. Indeed, we acknowledge that we, like Jesus, we have wept. And so we acknowledge that there is grief. But amidst that grief, there is the grace of God. And through the grace of God, we continue to grow and move forward. We will be all right. I heard Elvis's song this week on the radio. It'll be a blue Christmas without you. You know, I hadn't really listened to the words on that. It's a little bit codependent and almost a little bit stalkerish. He's very earnest that you'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but it'll be a blue Christmas. But I'll have a blue Christmas without you. Come on, buddy, get over it. Pray happiness for her as well. Acknowledge your griefs, acknowledge your losses, acknowledge those things that are hard. But move on. And through the grace of God and with the company of saints that gather with us, we are not ever lost. So pause a moment and contemplate in this season the saints that surround us that have given us those gifts of compassion, of understanding, of humor, of integrity, of humility, of joy. And we turn to those saints and we acknowledge them. And we pray that through the gift of God that we might manifest them. Because there's one other piece of this saints around the manger piece that we need to acknowledge. That we have a responsibility to be those saints to the next ones coming. Someone touched us at some point in our lives and offered something that helped us be the people we are. Are we passing that on? May it be so through God's grace and through what we've learned from the saints that surround us. And may we find joy in all of that. Amen? Amen.